We have some guests here today from First Watch. I do see one that says iPhone. I'm not sure who that is. That's you? Okay, that's Adrian. Perfect. Okay, I think we know everybody else on here. So let's get the meeting started. It's the May 22nd, 2025, Washoe County EMS Alliance meeting. I would ask for a motion to adopt today's agenda.
I move we adopt the agenda as presented.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Second. Thank you. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, motion move. Move to our next item, which is review and approve meeting minutes from April. Ira did a great job and sent those out. Did everybody get a chance to review them? If everybody's good with them, can we get a vote to approve, a motion, excuse me, to approve the April meeting minutes?
So moved.
Okay, can I get a second?
I'll second.
Take a vote. All the ayes and the ayes?
Ayes.
Anybody opposed? All right, no opposition. Moving on. Public comment. Do we have any public comment today?
Do not have anyone signed up for public comment.
Thank you, Ira. All right. Okay, we're going to move to the next subtopic, strategic planning. I sent out to the board members and the affiliate members an email yesterday to kind of front load what this topic was going to be. So this is a product of the work the resource management work group has been working on and trying to wrap our heads around, and we made a recommendation to front load, and now we have Adrian is going to introduce First Watch and kind of walk you through the presentation for today.
Thanks. So I will very quickly pass you off to Sally Olson-Nelson, who's the regional manager for our West Coast region. And then she will hand off as needed to her team. Sally and team, thanks for making time to present to us.
Thanks for having us. All right. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon. With me, I'm Sally Olson-Nelson, the West Coast Regional Manager for First Watch. And with me, I have Rebecca Haywood. Rebecca is one of our business analysts. And Chris Carlson, who is our Senior Product Manager, retired fire chief, and is going to show you our risk identification for emergency services. A RIDES module that we think can help evaluate ALS and BLS deployments. And with that, Chris, I'll hand it over to you.
Well, thank you, Sally. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for your time today. Can everybody hear me all right, first of all? First things first. And then let me share, and hopefully we can see the right screen. All right. Everybody see my screen appropriately? Okay, super. Yes. All right. So RIDES is a program that we came up with that was born out of the NEMSQA Red Lights and Siren project. And I think probably most of you are familiar with probably about 4 or 5 years ago. There was some research that was started about, do we really need to be running around high priority or code three or whatever you recognize to be emergent responses and emergent transports? And so we started looking at that and go, yeah, we've got data on that. We could probably help out with that. So it started out as a pretty simple project, which was, are we running code or emergent more times than we did a year ago? And are we running to the hospital, code when we maybe don't need to or don't have to? It took about 30 seconds getting into that to then realize that, you know what? I mean, if we're going to do that, then that's only part of the equation, right? Because yeah, you can reduce code three or emergent responses, but then is there a significant clinical impact to patients? And if so, what percentage of patients and to what degree is that a problem? So as soon as the medical directors kind of got a hold of this, they instantly go, oh, well, let's figure out, let's tie this to our priority dispatch system, right? I mean, is it making sense? Are what we assuming is happening as we, you know, dispatch lower priority calls, is it in fact happening? Is that what we're experiencing? And how is our system actually working? Is it doing what we think it's going to do? And ultimately, as we boiled this all down, it came down to really, this is a tool to help systems evaluate, are they providing the right care in the right way to the right patient at the right time? And then as we got more and more into it, we found other people in other segments. You know, for example, the fire service started looking at it, go, well, we're evaluating this. We can kind of evaluate anything. The example being, you know, what percentage of the time do truck companies actually provide some useful services to ring alarms? You know, so should I be sending my truck companies to this? Do we need to be running emergent to, you know, fire alarms or residential alarms or whatever the case is? That there's a lot of different things you can fit in to the various tables and models that we have. But today I'm going to talk primarily about the clinical application of what's going on. So if you can see my screen, RIDE stands for Risk Identification for Emergency Services, because as I said, we immediately kind of got past the red lights and sirens. It's really an element of risk. And if any of you had the opportunity to be on the Pinnacle webinar we did just yesterday or 2 days ago, we spent a lot of time talking about the subjective nature of risk and how you can use technology to reduce the subjectivity to some extent. So anyway, we came up with RIDES, and there's several different components to the this landing page, if you will. The first one is you have a variety of ways to look at your data. So the first one is a date comparison. So year over year, month over month, week over week, you have the ability to look at a range of data and see, is it getting better or is it getting worse? Or more appropriately, is it going up or is it going down from the time period that we're looking at? Level of care, we talk about compliance, and compliance simply means if the degree to which something we dispatch and assume to be an ALS call is going to receive ALS levels of service. And then based on feedback, again, from medical directors, we've added time-sensitive interventions. So you have the ability to identify time-sensitive interventions and then look at those and assign them to what we call the focus area. So the focus area up here is designed for special clinical studies, or if there's KPIs or some system metrics that you look at on an ongoing basis, you can just identify the focus areas and it's right there in front of your face. So I'm gonna kind of take a little bit of an off ramp here and tell you that probably the most important part of this system is the setup tool that we have, right? Because again, we were in it for about a day and all of a sudden realized that ALS and BLS determinations in the US anyway are purely local determinations, right? Not every system is the same. The age-old adage of if you've seen one EMS system, you've seen one EMS system is very true. So we came up with this ability to allow you, the user, to define what you expect to see in your system. So this is currently written with MPDS priority dispatch codes. So that's what kind of drives it. It can also be used as condition type codes or whatever it is that you have within your system that you want to use. So this is the current one's driven by determinants, but whatever you drive, you have the ability to utilize it within your data set or not. So hide or show, you select or deselect. And if you deselect, then it takes it out of your universe. This was driven because not everybody uses all the MPDS codes, right? So you have the ability to select or not select. What we will do as a company, especially if we have your data already, is we'll look at your historical data and we will preload this based on what the AI is telling us you're currently using as a system. And then you have total power to change it. And in fact, the analytical power of this tool really is you can come in at any point in time and make a switch like, oh, that shouldn't be ALS, that should be BLS. Change it, go back and then look, say, oh, so what did that do? This only impacts, you know, 2% of the cases that we handle. So is that a risk that I'm willing to assume for whatever benefit it is related to the change that we're making? So anyway, you can hide or show, include or exclude any of the drivers. You can assign the level of service, and we are now in the new version adding community paramedicine or some alternative level of service and critical care. So it's not just ALS or BLS. You have the ability to do that. You have the ability to then enter and change. Do you expect this to be an emergency, emergent response or a non-emergent response? And then, as I mentioned before, you can add any variable to your focus group. So it shows up on your page, landing page. And then we have a reversion and an audit log that you can show who has done what, when, on what date. So if you make a change or someone in the system makes a change, you can look at it and see instantly, you know, who did it, and then have a conversation about why or if it made sense. The other two elements that we have up here is it became also evident that, and the first question people ask is, well, do you include primary impressions of the paramedic? And we don't, because in what we're evaluating here, it's really more important what is done that reflects what the primary impression is, as opposed to looking at, is the primary impression accurate? So if you have FirstPass or one of our other clinical tools, that will do that for you. This is if we dispatch it as expecting it to be an ALS call, were there ALS interventions done? Were there ALS medications given? And again, these are all local determinations. So you have the ability to then go in here and identify for any one of these interventions. And we can add, these come from the National Registry as well as some of our national power users, but we can add and expand this to whatever you think is important. And the same thing with medications. Both the medications and the interventions have a time sensitive ability. So if your medical directors have told us they really want to be able to see those specific things that make a difference, right? Defibrillation, epi, you know, the big five of, you know, what helps people bring them off the up elevator, right? So so we've included that, and we have the ability from the landing page to go in and look at those time sensitive interventions and do analysis of what's going on. So that's the setup tool. There's a lot of flexibility within that. Once you get it set up, and I will tell you, if you look at this, the more discerning of us will look at, well, some of these numbers don't make any sense. Well, this is a demo page, and we go in and play with it all the time. So you can imagine if, you know, you have vein catheterization as a BLS metric, well, boom, your BLS is going to, you know, pop up, and your ALS will go down in a rather dramatic fashion. So it's really important that be right, at least for the baseline. And then it gets kind of really interesting when you get in to start drilling down to change things up to see how it impacts the system in general. So we can go here. The summaries are over here, level of service that are provided, total patient contacts. For again the comparison period, or you can switch to just a date range, right? So if you just want a specific date range, want to know what happened last month, you can select that as well. Total patients contacts, response metrics, so how many total responses did we have, what percentage of those were emergent, and this gets back to the original concept, right, of we're measuring what degree are we exposing our community and our caregivers to, you know, emergency responses and the risk benefit associated therewith. And then total transports, are they going up, are they going down, and then a little bit of a breakdown. What kind of, to what degree are we looking at ALS interventions or not, no ALS interventions? And then one of the critical things that people want to look at, obviously, is how often are we having a non-emergency dispatch with an emergency transport, and what does that look like? Well, we can go over here and view insights, right? And then we can see, oh, okay, so anytime you hover over any of the emergent transports, it brings you to an event list of all of those calls immediately, right? So here are the six calls that were dispatched, again, according to the way this data is currently set up, as non-emergent, but yet ended up with an emergent return to the hospital. So why did that happen? You can do a selection right here. This is based on CAD data, but we can include your EPCR data, do a drill down, and with one click of the mouse, you get to look and see, oh, what happened? Well, this was dispatched as a, whatever it was, 31 Delta 2, and lo and behold, we get there, and it's, you know, reduced level of consciousness, overdose, whatever the case may be. diabetic emergency, whatever. But you can see there's Narcan and an IV started. So that's why this was an ALS call, and it went with lights and sirens. So as you're evaluating from a QA perspective or from a medical director's perspective, you can start looking and slicing and dicing things to figure out where are in my system are things not happening the way that I would expect them to happen, or what we were expecting to do in terms of dispatch priorities or the level of service that we're providing. We provide a temporal chart down here for ALS dispatch treatment, BLS requiring ALS treatment. Just see, you know, again, it's a pretty static system. Are things getting better? Or are they getting worse? And then you have the ability then to, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself, select anything. If you want to, like, look at 17, 178, so 17 Delta calls. You can, it brings it up in a drop-down search, and you can look and say, oh, well, let's figure out what's going on there. And then you can, it will take you, When you view insights, you can see you've now selected, you're looking at 17 Delta 4. These numbers change to reflect the determinant or whatever driver we're using for this. And then you can go into insights and get the breakdown of exactly what was going on in those calls. So here we have a fall. If I'm interested in looking what my transport mode is, I can search any or sort any of these columns any way I want to do it, time of day, what interventions were done, et cetera. And again, you have the ability to drop down into the specific information of what is happening. The other thing that we've done to set it up to make it easy for you, let me cancel that out. And so here is a Pareto chart, basically, of the non-emergent versus emergent transport data. So if you go over here, based on the date of how it's set up, 28 Charlie 1 has a very high degree of emergency transport with non-emergency responses. So we want to figure out, you know, what's going on. We can then, you know, pick those up and view it again, figuring out, you know, what's going on and developing trends and treasures of what's going on. All of this data can be exported to Excel, and we are currently in the process of doing a version 1.2, which will add the ability to save up to 6 predetermined views, if you will, so that you can instantly look at the same thing month after month without having to go through and re-identify the variables that you look at. And we're assigning also a financial component to it. So in the setup tool, you'll be able to enter your unit hour costs or whatever metric you're using for whatever vehicles you use. And when I say vehicles, I mean and mechanisms you use to deliver service. And then we'll be able to create deltas for you between if you make this change and it goes from, you know, 40% of calls require an ALS to 10, what's the financial theoretical model impact of that from a cost structure in terms of your system design. So I know we're a little bit time constrained, so I didn't want to spend a 5,000 foot depth, but I think I've given you maybe a 20,000 foot level. And now would be a good time for you to ask Sally questions. Good job, Sally. No questions. Awesome.
It's a quiet group.
Yeah, it is. It's after lunch.
Yeah.
I do have a couple questions. So, but I'll defer if anybody else in the room has them as well. Maybe I'll kind of start the action here. Anyway, Tim Case, Washington County EMS. Thank you for being here. Great presentation. I've had the opportunity to see rides demonstrated a couple times. I got to sit and kind of interact with it a little bit at Collaborate last year. I'm pretty fascinated by the things that I can do. I know that Doctors Sani and Daya have both been able to take a look at it and are both, I think, equally as intrigued as I am. One question I have, earlier you talked about kind of looking at other operational features, used kind of the truck company example. Is that a built-in component to RISE, or is that kind of like an add-on module, or is it all kind of packaged together?
It's not. What we would do is just build back-end tables, right? That rather than using determinants, we'd use whatever it is, right? So unit apparatus or call types or whatever it is. And so it's just a different matter of taking the same table and inserting different variables based on the industry.
Okay. That's my only question so far. Probably think of some others.
You can always send an email.
Yeah. And we expect this to evolve as well, right? I mean, we've probably got half a dozen implementations now, and we're, you know, constantly getting feedback based on workflow and as people play with it. And for those of that are you familiar with First Watch, I mean, that's what we do. You know, we're constantly massaging and improving and, you know, trying to make it better based on the real world applications that you have. So.
Yeah. Really kind of intrigued by the addition of the financial component to it, where you can maybe see some of those, albeit theoretical, like dollars and cents impacts. You know, we do talk a lot about how changes in the system and the dispatching cards, protocols, all those affect patient care and clinical outcomes, as we should. But there is still that kind of financial piece to it too, and thinking of you know, the fire agencies that have to roll heavy assets on call types that maybe they don't need to, can this tool be utilized to maybe discover those spaces and, you know, look for opportunities to scale back wear and tear on vehicles, you know, superfluous work on first responders that are already overtaxed as it is, et cetera. So.
Well, two of the interesting uses that we've stumbled on already is one of our customers used it to transition to a priority dispatch system, right? They didn't have one. And as they were implementing, they were basically doing quasi real time. Does this make sense? Are we really looking at it? Are, you know, we looking at the right things? And then we had another system that basically had a BLS transport system that was supplemented by fire ALS. And the system administrators were a little bit taken back because there were a lot of times where ALS was running in with a patient when maybe we didn't have to happen because the system was set up to incentivize by way of payment, having paramedics, you know, attend in the BLS unit. So they were able to pretty quickly, you know, identify where kind of that threshold was, what made sense, and where perhaps the system was being abused.
Dr. Daya has a question.
Yeah, thanks. So I remember seeing this with Tim last year as well, and it's nice to see you've evolved it. Remind me a couple of quick things. You obviously have this set up with MPDS, but are you doing anybody that's using APCO currently? Are you using it with anyone that has APCO?
We don't have it fully implemented, but we do have a customer. It's a Canadian customer, actually, that does use APCO, and it's probably going to go live here in 3 weeks to a month.
Excellent. So that's very helpful. And then the second question I guess I had for you was I missed a little bit because I was in transition, but you've obviously got the response mode, the transport mode, the interventions, which I guess you're pulling from the charting system. And then how are you getting the hospital outcomes in this? Is it part of a separate system or is that all built in?
Yeah, no, it's a hospital outcome, hospital discharge, whatever is not built into this. We do have a couple of different systems, both our hospital transport status dashboard and our first pass clinical, you know, protocol evaluation tool that does have the ability to do in California ReadyNet interventions or integrations or other, you know, bed management and or that includes outcomes. So we do have several customers now, mostly in California, that we have outcome data associated from either Epic or ReadyNet or some other system that they're utilizing that we're integrated the data into it.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we are headed, and so just let me understand this. So you get from the dispatch records, you get the response mode and you get the dispatch code and the type of unit. You get BLS, ALS, code 1, code 3, and then you get the type of call. And then when they head back to the hospital, you get their response mode, and then you get their, you're getting their, I missed the impression part, you're getting the paramedic impression, you're getting the interventions from the chart. Is that kind of what you're providing currently?
From the EPCR chart, yes, okay. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think the ultimate piece in all of this is, you know, none of us are perfect in figuring this out. If we knew what we were doing and could send the right response the right way all the time, we'd be, you know, we'd be at the Holy Grail. But but we definitely will need at some point to supplement this with some hospital work. But I think that that's also happening regionally. So there is a movement towards a HD network with Epic, because most of our hospitals in the region are Epic based. So the goal is to get there eventually, but I think this is, I like what you've done, and I like the fire addition of the fire module, because I think that would help really streamline some of those resources, because I know we go on a lot of those calls as well. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think maybe I have a bit of an extension of Dr. Dyer's question, and you may not have the answer. I'm thinking of the HDE work that's being done, and a majority of our EMS agencies are using ESO. But regardless, you know, the HDA as it passes information back to the clinicians that were on scene and you know, involved in patient care, would, as that comes into effect, would that be able to be utilized in rides as well?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But if the data exists, we can capture it and make it work. That's a very high level answer, as you know, the devil's in the details of working out
sure.
The exchange rooms yeah. and all that stuff. But yes, in theory, perhaps a little more than theory, we absolutely can do that and integrate it. Yeah.
Yeah, the good news for us is that in my discussions with ESO and their HDE, which is what we're looking at right now, it is platform agnostic. So as long as other EHR systems, because we have several in the region, are willing to work with ESO to sort of use their HDE system, it won't matter what kind of ePCR system you have. You should be able to get that linked in. But obviously, it's a little bit complicated, because you'll have to do the different systems and how they all work, because, you know, we are not uniform on this by any means in our region, because we have at least four, maybe five charting systems in place, ESO being the biggest right now, but it's not the only one.
Right. Yeah, and we work with all of the major vendors, and even some of the minor ones. Unless your Uncle Pete designed it in his garage, chances are we've got an integration with them. So,
any more questions for Sally and the team? All right, hearing none. Thank you, Sally and team, for your presentation today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
We appreciate your time. Yes. All right. We'll head off.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay. Since we kind of got that out of the way, we'll kind of dive into the work groups, and I'll give a little bit more context. So the resource management work group for the last several months comes and meets and talks. And I think one of the things that's showed itself a little bit, Dr. Dyer was speaking to, is to some extent, we all each have our own version of what RIDES is doing, but it's siloed within our entities, right? So maybe ESO can give you some of this stuff, maybe ImageTrend, maybe, you know, for us, AOS, 2IS that we use. The challenge is that's not making a system. That's everybody doing their thing. And we try to clump it all together and scratch our heads and think, well, maybe we could figure out this way or that way. And that's really how we kind of got to this point, is we need to dump all this information into one system that can give us what the system is doing, so we can tweak the system. because it's just not really happening. And quite honestly, I think one of the things that we have to wrap our heads around is how AVL has changed response, especially for the fire agencies. We're moving in each other's dirt to cover for these medical calls, and that data is getting missed either way because of the siloing of our data. So I think that's really why we want to kind of push this forward to the board and the affiliates to say, hey, we could probably do this better if we could put all this information in one spot and then filter through it for the system. So the time of the call to 911 all the way to, as we talked to, eventually the outcome of the patient through the HDE. But I think we're going to be spinning our wheels and be very slow and clunky, if not unable to really execute some of the stuff that this group all came together and set the mission and a vision for, if we continue down the current path. So we're hoping that we can, we think we found a solution to drive the system. That's why we kind of brought it forward to the group. And we met again on the 15th and we really talked through this, and it's kind of become a joke within the resource management work group that, or I guess we're going to talk about rides again, because rides could solve this problem, rides could solve that problem. So, there's humor in it. It's actually not a joke. It's something that if we want to get serious about fixing the system in Washington County, it is probably the solution that we have right now. So, Tim, you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered it very well. I mean, it's a product within a platform that we all already use, and I think have some familiarity with. It helps look at some of those operational efficiencies that we always talk about, getting the right resources to the right place, and then we can use other first watch, first pass platforms to, kind of look at the clinical side of things. We get the right people there, and then, how's the care go from there, with the ability to have feedback from the HDE to help kind of round that picture out. We really then start blossoming into that patient-centric model that we've been talking about, since I've been with the county and since the Alliance has been together, and strategic plans and all those things.
Are there any questions for the resource management work group? Any thoughts as you've seen the presentations, concerns, anything that maybe we could address to anybody?
So, Chief, I would love to see the Canadian product or company they're working with on the APCO version. And I'd love to be able to look at how the APCO cards that they're working with line up with ours, if that's possible. That would be very helpful.
Okay. Let me connect with Adrian and Tim and figure out what the opportunity looks like there and how we could start to navigate that or see what that looks like.
I'm presuming that others at RACA would like to see that well as well.
Okay. All right, no questions for the resource management work group. Data work group.
You can start it off and other people can chime in if they want to carry on sort of debating it. So the major work at the moment of the data working group is producing an acceptable data use agreement, which is going to be essential in the future if we want to get things like rides operational and maximize first watch, that kind of thing. So at the moment, we're on a third iteration of the data use agreement, and it went out a couple of weeks ago. It was in response to some concerns agencies had. And we've had a couple of agencies that have okayed it in its current form, but several more that still have ongoing unresolved concerns with it. And we take those concerns really seriously, because this is a one for the ages. This is a data use agreement that's going to pave the way for the years ahead. So we're going to work with individually with agencies and with the support of the Alliance and our amazing chair to see if we can address some of these concerns with the agencies sort of individually rather than maybe going through it here. The concerns stem largely from the scope of the data retention laws, that kind of thing, and how to protect against bad actors in the future. So if we're all getting along really well now, but what about in 10 years' time if there are all sorts of undercurrents and concerns sort of likes and dislikes in the alliance at that point when we're all long gone. So people can talk about these issues here, and some of the people are not here that raise some things, but or we can chat about them individually in the days and weeks ahead, and just bring updates back to this alliance. So I'm pretty happy with whatever people want to do. But I think it's important to realize that these data use agreements are really complex, and they can take months and sometimes years to fully implement. So we're not across the line yet, but hopefully we're inching closer to it. So that's pretty much where we are now. We'll take it back to the agencies. Maybe we can get the lawyers talking to each other as well, and sort of see where we go from there. Any questions, or anyone want to bring anything up that has come up?
Yeah, I kind of want to echo some of what Jack said, and just that these are complex. What one agency sees from their legal counsel as an issue may be something completely different than another agency sees from their legal counsel. I spoke with Jack and listened to Tim, and I offered to kind of step in to see where I could start to bridge and understand that. And then, if we need to get lawyers talking, then maybe that's the next step. I'm obviously aware that there's financial impacts when that happens to agencies. So very mindful of it. Try to bridge that as close as we can, and maybe avoid it. And if we can't, then maybe that's the next step.
I'd like to add, maybe if we could, after in the next couple of weeks, maybe we can get a meeting together with all the jurisdictions and find out what the problem is, because I think there's a lot of overlaps. And instead of everybody trying to do the same thing, which is trying to work it out, it might be good if we find kind of a level playing field, and we can start working on the hurdles and get this process done a little faster. But I think we really need to get together and find out what that is, because I think we're going to find that we got some easy stuff to overcome and then some more difficult. But I'd like to see a meeting maybe in the next 2, 3 weeks, if we could.
Yeah, I can schedule that.
Okay.
Thank
Chief,
you.
you're speaking to the fire agencies then?
Yes.
Okay.
I would add, and I promised my team I would not add, but I lied. I would add that we've been doing this now for more than a year, and we've had various iterations with little concerns, which have been tackled, and we've had meetings and stuff. And it seems like, and every time we do it, we're going to our lawyers, so it's costing us money as well. But this time, the concerns that came back were more blanket to me. They were kind of, I don't know quite how to explain it, but more like back to the beginning of the drawing board, which was frustrating because we've been moving forward in this good faith, as Jack said, really trying to hear the concerns and change the language and figure out how to wordsmith the data use agreement in a way that would make people comfortable with it, filling a gap where we have not had any data use agreement anywhere with any of the data moving around for years. We're really trying to right size and get to the right place, but it's taking a really long time. And this last step back really did feel like it was coming back all the way to the beginning again. And there's some that's I had some personal frustration with that, but also so felt the need to just make sure that everyone is on board. And in this meeting, I hear, yeah, let's get to a data use agreement. Let's get to where we can really look at the system and really make these enhancements that we've been working on. But then we get to the emails and the feedback in the emails, and it always feels like this weird step back. So I wanted to at least voice that concern that I have and make sure that we are really all aiming for an endpoint where we continue to look at our system as a system and really work together to move our system forward.
Adrian, I don't think this is Rodney from Banks. I don't think anybody's against working forward. I think where the trouble here is, and I'll just put it real briefly, is when I referred our data use agreement to our attorney represents four different jurisdictions. So that attorney had to get approval from those other three jurisdictions to review and comment to me. So now he's commented to me, but he can't comment to the other three, but yet he represents all four. And so I think what we found is something from the past what might have been great, but now today it's a little different. And I think that's where, from the jurisdictions, we need to figure out, how do we deal with that? Who is one agency going to represent all four? Are we going to represent ourselves? And here do we have, because on our attorney's going, this is what we'd recommend. But then they also represent the other three. So I don't feel that it's right for me to represent the other agencies without the other agencies representing them. So I think that's where a meeting would help fix some of that, to at least get a plan. How do we overcome that piece? And then I think working on agreement, it's nothing, I don't see anything in the background from any of our agencies trying not to move the EMS Alliance along or move EMS stuff along. It's the semantics of the contract itself and our legal representation. How do we deal with that? And so that's what I'm recommending. We get together and how do we overcome this piece? And then I think once we get it figured out, then I think things will move right along. But that's been the big challenge. And some of that time took with, I know with the other agencies, they all had to go to their boards. And it seemed like the timing didn't line up for a couple of months. So it took, like, one agency took a couple of months because it just didn't get on the agenda. They had other pressing business. So it's now all done. We just need to figure out how to move forward.
Thank you. That context is helpful.
All right. We will work on getting that meeting set up and continue to march forward to get this thing across the line so Jack and his group can rest easy. Okay. Government document work group. I think that's Chief Weiss. Are you on here? I think I see you there. You got any updates for that work group?
Well, maybe I didn't know I was on that work group. So my report out will be very short, and then I'll circle back around with Adrian.
I'd recommend you passing it off to Tim.
Oh, yeah. Tim.
Well, thank you for that. I can't even think of anything quippy to say. Nothing to report. God, I had something really good to zing in there, but I lost it. But thanks for the expert leadership of Chief Weiss. It's been smooth sailing through the government documents work group. No updates, only because of his magnificence and brilliant leadership.
You didn't actually have to add that. I think I took care of myself for you, but thanks. Yeah.
All right. Well, they nailed it. So I guess system enhancement, our system stewardship and our system enhancement and financial stewardship work group. That's me. We did not meet since our last meeting. Our prior meeting was the 22nd. Alliance meeting was the 24th. Our next meeting is the 27th. And quite honestly, like my update on the 24th, everything's kind of built for that group to do their work. They just need funds and requests to make recommendations to the board. So I think there's future conversations around that. Where does that system enhancement fund come from? What is the source? What is the seed money? I don't think we need to have that conversation today, but we will have to have that conversation to figure out where does that money come from and how does that support. A simple example is we talk about rights module, and if we take that to a motion for a vote and we say, yeah, let's do it, then how do we pay for it? An example would be system enhancement. If there was money, seed money there, that's how we would potentially support that. But I think that's for a later conversation, unless somebody wants to have some dialogue around it right now. Hearing none, I guess we will complete the work group reports and we will move to agency updates. Round robin, Washington County EMS.
Yeah, our a big update is just the continued effort to replace Tim, which is a challenge in and of itself. We are in final rounds of interviews, great candidates. So we'll probably have a clear path forward by the end of the month.
And of course, have Tim through the transition and onboarding and stuff like that. So he is still fully your go-to person and will still be available regardless of the background that he has in his video every time he's here, just rubbing in how wonderful where he lives is now.
All right.
Well, I can keep rotating it if you'd like.
And for context, everybody, that photo is literally just a stone's throw from where he lives. So it's not a fake one. He downloaded off the internet.
Yeah. Took it while I was walking my dogs.
All right. Tim's not a victim. Let's move on. Medical directors. Dr. Dye, I see you're here. You got any updates?
I think Dr. Boroklansky is on. So a couple of updates. I just want to sort of actually have three on my mind. One is that we will have a mid-year protocol change this year in relation to the heat emergencies one. Dr. Boroklansky and others at the protocol development committee have worked on an updated heat emergency protocol for if we experience heat illness in the summer, particularly. Main change is to cool first before transporting. So that is going to go hopefully out next month. And so you might see that. And then there's a slight tweak to the stroke protocol. Nothing major that anybody needs to worry about. It's mainly just allowing a 20 gauge IV instead of a 16, as I think what we used to ask for. So that's number one. Number two, we mentioned HDE. So ESO has been meeting, and I have some involvement with this with OHSU to actually do exchange with agencies that are on ESO. So what I, as I mentioned earlier, every EHR platform can link into EHSO, can link to outcomes through ESO, but I'm gonna need a list of what kind of system you use. So I know that I think I understand that Hillsborough uses Zoll. I think the others all use ESO, including AMR, and then I think TVFNR uses AOS. Those are the only three I know in Washington County. But if there's any others, please let me know, so that at least I can make sure that that happens. What will need to happen is at some point, if you want to link to the HDE through OHSU, which for right now it's only at pilot effort through, because it's taking a lot of work with the IT folks at OHSU. That piece will require some work at the agency end. So once I get that information in, hopefully we'll work. And then the third component of that whole thing is to understand what information we want back and how it populates into your system. So these are some of the things that are beyond me, because I'm not a technical person when it comes to computers, but I can tell you that we will need to know what type of charting platform you have and what EHR you use in your records management system to see how the HDE can work. But ESO has affirmed to me that they are platform agnostic when it comes to their HDE. I think those are the main things that I had. I don't think I had much more.
Thank you, Dr. Dyer. Dr. Warren Clancy, you got anything for the clients?
No, just trying to get the hyperthermia protocol out. We're playing around with the logistics of it at Hillsborough, and that's about it.
Thank you, Waka.
Good afternoon. I'll let me defer to either Kim or Monique first. If any thoughts that they want to share.
None from me.
Very good. Kim, anything? Hearing none. And she can pipe in if she'd like. I think the main thing I would like to just share with the group is just awareness. We talked, I think, a while back, but we've at least talked with Fire Defense Board and our board and Law Enforcement Council about the looking at AI software to do non-emergency call processing, which certainly has the possibility of interest of this group as to how that's going, how it works, how triage occurs through that system. Right now we've done a number of demos, looked at different products. We've got some ballpark costs and trying to put a structure together to figure out where we're at. Basically, to proceed is to go out to RFP, just from the availability of vendors who are providing products in this space, and the cost will just require a RFP, which is a little longer. But those that are familiar with those processes, more effort, a little longer than I'd like. I would have loved to have found a way to do it as a sole source or something like that, but it really doesn't lie out that way. So we're moving forward with that and two projects behind it, but this one was prioritized up, and that is looking to reach out and select somebody in the space that's very familiar with communication centers to be able to basically hire them to come in and just do a general assessment of how we're doing things, how things are going compared to what they might see nationwide in communication centers of our size and type of business we do. And then the third one would be another AI product that I think we feel will make impact on us, and that's the ability to do QI, QA work on way more than 1% of the calls, and possibly and eventually maybe all of our calls get at least a level of AI screening with the advancements in AI. That one's third on the list. So right now for all of you, I think the one that would matter is the one that's on the top of the list, and that is to proceed with some sort of non-emergency call processing for AI to begin with. But those are the key updates that I wanted to share. Always doing a lot of efforts for recruitment and hiring or anything in the range, anywhere you guys go. If you see somebody who's not sure what they want to do in their life, send them our way. That's it. Unless there's questions for any of us at WACA. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. TVFNR, not a lot to update. I would say we've several years out, but we began discussions with Stryker about the LifePak 35. So I've been, like I said, that we're probably at a minimum 2 years out for purchase and deployment, but we've started that discussion. I think that's probably that, and our APCPs are doing an incredible job. I think I've shared before, but we find with our high system utilizers, when they're from the community paramedic side, when they engage, we have a 50% call reduction in that system utilizer, because we help navigate them to the resource that they need. It's not the 911 system. So super proud of that group. I think I'll leave it at that. Chief Weiss, you have anything for TVFNR you want to add?
Do you want another recap on the document, governing document group at all? No? Okay. Then I have nothing to add.
Copy that. Thanks, Chief. Hillsborough Fire.
Hey, everybody. No, nothing new to report from Hillsborough today. Thanks.
Thank you. Forest Grove. We have Forest Grove. I don't see Wyman or Gary. Okay. I think I saw Dave Morris for Cornelius. You still around?
Yep, just trying to figure out how to unmute this. Hello, everybody. Just a real quick update. We are in the process of still separating from Forest Grove. Currently working on a physician contract with Dr. Daya, controlled medications, first watch, reporting in general. So there's a lot going on for us as we're trying to separate and move away. The nice thing is we've got a great relationship with them, and so we've got a lot of support as we're moving forward. End report.
Thank you, Chief. Chief Lance with Banks.
Nothing happening here in Banks. Nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. AMR?
Nothing from me. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen. Rob, do you have anything for the group?
No, just happy EMS week, everybody.
Thanks, Rob. All right, and Larry with Metro West.
Yeah, thanks. Things are going well. We're actually on a hiring freeze and building a hiring list. So, yeah, things are coming along.
Good news. All right. Thank you, Larry. Did I miss anybody? My screen kind of moves around at times. I don't think I missed anybody. I think we covered all the agencies, partners. So thank you, everybody, for attending. And Larry, you did ask about NurseNav real quick. I was just looking at it. I think it was 174 calls since implementation. So it's getting roughly 1.5 to 2 calls a day. They're being removed out of the system. There are bounce backs and just BLS transports only. And that's at about, I think Dr. Dias spoke to it, 50 to 70%. So any other questions, Larry, were for nurse navigation?
No, I was just curious since it was pretty new in the system, just curious to see what kind of impact it was having.
Okay. All right. Well, I think our next meeting is June 26th. I guess before I do that, are we good to the order? Anything that anybody has? Okay. I guess we'll wrap up today and we stayed inside an hour, even with a 20-minute presentation. That's strong work, everybody. And I appreciate you all. Have a great day and have a happy Memorial Day weekend.
Outstanding job. Thank you.
Thank you.